Someone's got the same names as you, his wife said from behind her newspaper. Really? Joseph K. was not at all interested. He was reading a fascinating article in the annual report. Don't you find that unusual? Why was she persisting in following this banal line of conversation? It happens, I'm sure. It might happen to a Smith, yes, but your name, K, as a single letter? What's he done? He knew she'd persist until he showed a modicum of interest. Oh, he's pulled a cat out of the river. The river was in flood, but he managed to reach over the bank and pull it out by the scruff of its neck. He's been given a medal by the RSPCA. Good for him. And with that, Joseph K. grunted to show that the conversation was at an end. I've befriended you on Facebook, his work colleague happened to mention on the way to the board meeting. What does that mean? Well, you sent me a request and I accepted, though I thought it a bit strange as you said you didn't do Facebook. I don't. You do now. You sent me a friend request. That wasn't me. Oh, it's got your name on it. Oh, and well done about that cat. But I'm more of a dog person myself. Would you check your details, Mr. K? The dentist receptionist flapped a piece of paper at him from over her desk. He was required to get up and take it from her. We need to keep our records up to date. It was a list of illnesses, symptoms, and pills. He gave it a cursory glance, ticked it, and was about to hand it back when he noticed that someone had ticked angina. And what's more, there was a note to say that he'd had a heart bypass last September. I'm afraid there's something wrong here. It says I've had angina. Well, if it says it there, you must have it. And I've had an operation and on daily medication. Oh, well, that's very common amongst men of a certain age and a certain weight these days. But I haven't had angina. And I certainly know if I'd had a triple heart bypass. But it's your form. It's in your folder. Did you sign the bottom? I ticked it to say I'd read it. Then it must be right. Staring at her computer screen, she announced, "The dentist will see you now. But you've put the wrong form in the wrong file. They can't both be wrong. Well, one of them is. The dentist's waiting. Not before you've checked. You've put my form in someone else's file. You'll miss your slot." "I don't care about my slot. If you continue to behave in this aggressive manner, I shall have to point out to you this notice on the wall about staff having the right to work in a calm atmosphere and not subject to abuse." "Listen here, you stupid girl!" At this point, the dentist, in full overalls and a set of spectacles perched on her beaky nose, popped the aforementioned around the door and asked what the hell was going on. On seeing the dentist and knowing her from previous visits, he calmed himself down. Here was an intelligent woman with orthodontic qualifications who'd listen. "Well, it seems that someone else has the same name as you. There are two files. The form from one has accidentally been put into the other. How unusual to have two people with the same name using the same dentist." Then his credit card was declined at the petrol station. He protested, but finally had to leave his card with them whilst he sorted out the confusion. By the time he got to the bank, his mood was not of the best. The lady behind the desk, Moira, explained that the problem was that the bank didn't deal with credit cards. That was a different department. And anyway, the bank would only put a stop on a card if there was been some unusual transactions. She asked if there'd been any such transactions that he might have made recently that might have thrown up this problem. Kay had to stop and think about that for a moment. Well, certainly not. The only unusual thing that was happening was this mix-up that kept occurring over his name. Ah, well, that will explain it then. Moira smiled and seemed satisfied. He must have got hold of your card by mistake. He can't have my card, I've got it. Or rather, the bloody petrol station has it at the moment. Oh, well, then all you can do is cancel your card and ask for a new one. It generally takes up to 10 days. 10 days? I can't be without my card for 10 days. Have you got a debit card? You can always use that in the meantime. I'll give you a number that you can phone to get your credit card cancelled. But it's already been cancelled! Then you won't have any more problems, will you? With that, Moira snapped shut her thick file, indicating that the interview was over. Someone appears to be going around the town using my name. The policeman was young and looked a bit incredulous. What gives you that impression, sir? I keep finding people mistaking me for him. And vice versa, I should think, added the constable, wondering why Joseph K. was bothering the police with, in his humble opinion, such a stupid problem. Joseph K. could tell that he wasn't going to get very far with this youngster, who was obviously bored with his job. I'd like to see someone in CID, he grandly announced. They're all out at the moment, sir, and I hardly think that mistaken identity comes within their remit. What about stolen identity? Has he stolen your identity, or have you stolen his? Obviously he's stolen mine, and that's a crime, surely. And has he done anything criminal using your name? No, Joseph K. reluctantly replied. But it's only a matter of time. Ah, but can you prove who you are, sir? Of course I can. I have my passport. You carry your passport around with you, do you? That's highly irregular. Are you implying this is a police state or something? No, but I'm having more and more problems trying to identify myself to certain people. I'm not surprised. So where is this passport? Kay clicked open his briefcase and placed the booklet in front of the policeman. There, that's me. That photograph looks nothing like you. Nobody's passport photograph looks anything like mine. Oh, I know that's what we always say, but this really doesn't look anything like you. This is highly suspicious, I'm afraid. I'll have to confiscate it. Confiscate it? You can't do that! The constable slipped the passport quickly under the counter. I just did. As Joseph K. pushed open the shop door, the acrid tang of dry cleaning hit his nose. It was so strong that his eyes smarted. An old-fashioned bell above the door jangled. He closed the door and waited. Behind the counter were rows of plastic bags, containing clothing on hangers, arranged on metal bars, all of them tagged and ready waiting to be collected. Suddenly, a section of them moved, and a small man with a large head pushed his way through. His trousers were high on his waistcoat, hitched up with old-fashioned braces, and he was in his shirt sleeves. You telephoned me about my suit, Kay said. Mr. Kay? Mr. Joseph Kay? He had a Middle European accent. You said at first that you didn't possess a brown suit. I'd forgotten it. It's been here for weeks. We're doing a stock check. We need the space. There was an aggressive tone in a man's voice that Kay didn't like. I'm sorry about that, but it must have slipped my mind. Brown suits don't usually slip people's minds. Tickets? He held out his hand to Kay, and Kay noticed that one of his fingers had been chopped off at the first joint. Ah, well, that's just it. I don't have a ticket. No ticket, no suit. I'll have to sell it to the ragman. The man began to turn and was grabbing hold of a section of the plastic bags to push his way back through to the back of the shop. But you telephoned my home. You must have my number. That's why I came round. I could show you some identification. The man stopped and obviously gave this piece of logic some consideration, because he turned back to the counter. Driving license? He held out his hand. Kay produced his license and handed it over. The man reached under the counter and pulled out a small magnifying glass. You can't be too careful. He handed back the license, turned and ran his hand lightly over a large rail of hanging suits. He had to reach up on tiptoe to be able to lift the plastic bag off the rack. He then folded it from the bottom to the top and applied a piece of sellotape from a large metal block over the join and ripped off the sellotape. £50. £50? Were including storage. He pulled the suit back to his side of the counter. Reluctantly, Kay realised there was no arguing with this man. He offered to pay with his debit card. Declined, the man said. But it can't be declined, there's money in there. Declined, that's what it says and that's what it's done. Cash or no suit. He just managed to have enough notes and small change. He grabbed the suit and dashed out of the shop, wanting to escape the oppressive atmosphere. He couldn't wait to get home to examine the suit properly. He ripped off the plastic cover and held it up by the hanger. It was a brown suit in an old-fashioned cut, but it was made of a reasonable material. But it wasn't his style. He always wore grey ones. That didn't suit his image at all. Was there a label inside? The name label read, as he dreaded, Joseph K. Then he found an envelope inside the breast pocket. It was slightly chemically stained from the dry cleaning, and the writing on the outside was smudged, but he could still make out his name. He told his wife he was just going out for a walk. She looked at him rather strangely, but said nothing. Now he was walking by the riverbank. The light was fading, and it was difficult to see where the path was. He should have brought a torch with him, and he wasn't quite sure why he was here. He'd just responded to that note in the envelope, "Meet you by the river." It was as vague as that. It didn't mention a time, a day, or even what part of the river. And obviously the note had been written several days, if not weeks before. It was probably never intended for him at all. But the other Joseph K., whoever he was. K. could see that the road bridge was looming up. There was a pathway under the bridge, so they didn't have to go back over the bank and down the other side. As he began to approach the tunnel, he could just make out the light from the other side, and standing in the middle, blocking part of the light, was a figure. As he approached the bridge, the figure began to move towards him. "Someone's got the same names as you," his wife said. "Really?" Joseph K. replied from behind his book of short stories. "Don't you find that unusual?" "What's he done?" "Oh, he's been pulled out of the river. He must have fallen in." "Or jumped," Kay added with a secret smile. "But if he's got the same name as me, how do you know that he's not me?" "Oh, you'd never be seen dead in a brown suit." And with that, she ducked behind her newspaper.